Welcome back to The Villain Edit. I am Monty Ashley.
I am Ryus Hall.
That's right. We are Monty and Ryus, and it is so hot here, we are dead.
Yes, we are doing this podcast from beyond the grave.
Thank you for subscribing to us on your local Ouija board.
Sure.
That's how that works. So here's the thing. It's been a few weeks since we recorded an episode because there is so little television for us to watch.
Yeah, our drag race is over.
Fortune Fire is happening and it's fun, but there's only so much we can say aside from we continue to love Fortune Fire, right? You still love Fortune Fire.
Pretty much. I still love Fortune Fire. Starting tomorrow night, the Great Food Truck Race comes back.
Really?
Yes!
Oh my god.
I was saving that news to tell you during the podcast so that your delight would be heard through across the airways.
That was a live moment of excitement and enjoyment. The Great Food Truck Race is historically a terrible show. The principle is that a bunch of people with food trucks who may or may not know how to drive or operate them go from town to town and sell food.
Competitively.
Yes.
So, like, whoever makes the most money at the end of the day wins that day.
So, that's one of the things I like about it, is that there's no judging. It's whoever has the most dollars wins.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the criteria are frequently really weird. Like, somebody will say, well, this is our food truck. We're going to sell humbao. We're the humbao truck. And then the host will say, welcome to your first challenge. Everybody's making pancakes. And, well,
and they're like, well, I guess we can iron these humbaos out flat.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's like a stuffed pancake?
Oh, yeah. That would be pretty tasty.
I'm into it.
I like it. I like a flattened humbao.
Yeah. That's good because I sat on your humbaos.
You monster.
All right. So that's super great news. I love the Great Food Truck Race. And it is a nonsense show that's exciting to talk about.
It is.
I also love Face Off. We are almost through with Face Off's final season.
Boo!
That is a shame.
I am really sad because I like shows where people make stuff.
Yeah.
I like The Forged in Fire. I like The Face Off. Face Off I like to watch and then think, oh, I bet I can do that. And then I get a big lump of clay and I'm just crying and yelling,
be a nose. What's that? That bucket of blood?
Bucket of blood, yeah.
I like shows where people are experts in doing something really weird. Like, cooking shows are fine, but I understand cooking, even if it's the Great British Bake Off, where I haven't heard of any of the things they're making.
Many of the ingredients.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I love that show. We've been watching that.
We have, but it's weird to talk about the Great British Bake Off because we're in the U.S. and we're several seasons behind.
Right. Also, no one on that show ever gets the villain edit.
Yeah.
Everybody is sweet and you're sad when they go.
Yes. There's never anyone on the villain on the Great British Bake Off where they get a few episode arc where you're like, ugh, I cannot believe she is still here. She is such a jerk. No one's a jerk.
No one's a jerk on that show. Everyone is a delight.
But also, the season that's currently airing in the U.S. still has Mary Berry and the...
Paul Hollywood.
Well, Paul Hollywood sticks around for the new version.
Oh.
Mary and the two hosts, Sue and Mel?
I think it's Sue and Mel, right. Yes.
So we've still got them. Meanwhile, we are being shown a separate season from the Canada... channel that our cable has because we're in Seattle, and that one has the new people, which is Sandy Toksvig and Noel Fielding. You want to talk about Noel Fielding?
You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. Noel Fielding has a huge fandom here in the Pacific Northwest. I know many people who have seen him do shows several times. He plays Seattle like every once in a while.
All I know about him is that I have a Tumblr, and a number of the people I follow on Tumblr are big fans of British panel shows.
Oh.
And if you have a Tumblr and you're a big fan of British panel shows, you are a big fan of captioned images of Noel Fielding.
You know, the same thing in the goth community.
Interesting.
But I bet they're different captioned images.
What are they saying in yours?
It's the one where he's sitting on a park bench and his friend is like, why are we here? And he's like, we're here. We're just here representing goth, man. We got to let people know it's still around. And they're both goths. I see that a lot.
I mostly see him giving hilariously wrong answers to questions and appearing not to care. But so that's what we think of when we hear of Noel Fielding, and now we see him, and it turns out he's just the host of a baking program.
Well, he's doing that. In addition, he was half of the Mighty Boosh. I have seen some of their sketch comedy. All right. Pretty funny.
And I recognize Sandy Toksvig from when I watched a bunch of the original British Whose Line Is It Anyway a million years ago.
I have never heard of Sandy Toksvig because I'm not funny like Monty.
Anyway, so we're watching The Great British Bake Off, and it's good, but something I learned a couple seasons ago, if you go out and Google and try to find out which season you're watching, you will learn who wins.
Yes, because that's how they identify the seasons. They're like, season three, the one that so-and-so wins. Yeah. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Right. So, we're watching it, we're not talking about it. I will say, just in general, I don't understand anything they're cooking.
It's true. They're like, we're going to make a pudding, and it's a big solid mass of dough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not what I, as a trashy American, consider a pudding, sir.
They did have that episode where the challenge was to make an American-style pie, and then spent the entire episode trashing American-style pies.
Yeah, they just spent the whole episode talking about how terrible American-style pies are.
So, we want you to make an American-style pie, but for the love of God, not as sweet as those weirdo Americans like. Meanwhile,
that was pretty funny.
It appears that the standard British dessert is an 8-foot-tall sponge cake. I cannot imagine actually being served one of these things.
No, these are very complicated baked goods.
But it's a delightful show.
And I think that the 8-foot-tall ones, I think they use as centers of table decorations.
Yeah, centerpieces.
But I don't think you can eat them. Can you eat them? Are you allowed to eat the centerpiece? Is that bad manners?
Well, if we do it, it's certainly bad manners on account of we're Americans.
Mm. It's true, and our centerpieces tend to be made out of plants.
Yeah. Swinging back to Face Off, which we kind of rushed past, we are sad that this is the final season. They have just finished the semifinals. They cut it down to 3 remaining people.
From the 6 remaining.
Yes.
This whole season, they had this gimmick where it was head-to-head challenges.
I don't think that mattered.
And I didn't really like it.
The idea is that, well, this means you're only in danger if you don't beat the person you're against. But my argument was that mathematically, if they just take the bottom person every time, that will have been someone who's lost in their head-to-head challenge anyway. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't care for that, but I do like monsters, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's still a fun show.
And I'm not going to not watch one of my favorite shows in its last season.
Right. This last episode, people were supposed to make vampires that looked like actual bats, which is tricky because actual bat faces are all wanged up.
Right.
Like,
so, like, you know that bat guy in Coppola's Dracula? They wanted that kind of stuff.
You mean Dracula?
I meant Dracula when he was in his half bat shape running around that garden.
Okay. Are you watching anything else?
I have not been watching much reality shows.
I haven't either. I've been reading books like a snob. Ooh. We did watch a whole bunch of Glow and Pose.
It's true. We did binge season 2 of Pose on one long, sweaty afternoon.
No, we didn't. We binged Glow. Pose.
Glow. You're right. Glow is the one we binged on a long, sweaty afternoon.
I gotta say, I'm not crazy about it, but I have come to accept that the 1980s is now when you set your period piece.
Oh, because both the period pieces we're watching are set in the 80s?
Both of those and Stranger Things. The 1980s is a thing now.
Yeah, you gotta watch Harley. It's set in the 1780s. And it's very saucy.
I watched some of Harlots, and I would agree. Extremely saucy.
Mm.
I keep expecting somebody to get repped on the knuckles with somebody's fan and being told, "La, sir, you are too saucy."
No one can be too saucy for this show.
So, Glow. I love Glow.
I do, too. I think it's awesome. One of my favorite episodes this season was directed by John Cameron Mitchell.
Yeah, that was a delightful surprise.
It was, because I had just seen that movie, How to Talk to Girls at Parties, that he directed, and it is also a delightful surprise.
You saw that at least twice.
I did see it at least twice. And I've pre-ordered the Blu-ray.
Speaking of setting things in the 1980s, as a period piece, by the way.
Yes.
How to...
Yes. That's a smooth segue.
It wasn't really. It was a segue back to a conversational topic we'd already pretty much squeezed the juice out of.
And technically, How to Talk to Girls at Parties takes place in the late 70s.
Oh my god, I am the worst.
You are a monster who doesn't know your punk rock history.
So what I like about GLOW is that for the most part, everyone is cheerful and it's colorful. And this is key, they are 30-minute episodes.
Yeah.
It's not trying...
It doesn't drag?
Like, let's compare it to any of the Marvel shows on Netflix. I think it's generally agreed any of those seasons would be better 2 or 3 episodes shorter or more.
Agreed.
But GLOW, loved it. I watched it and I thought, this is very satisfying. They had the episode that was just an episode of the show within a show.
Uh-huh. And it was set at a time when they were told, just go crazy and do what you want on that show. And then they showed us that episode that they made, and it was great.
Not very much wrestling, which I think matches up with the historical GLOW. That thing was also not wall-to-wall wrestling.
No, it was...
There terrible. Were a couple of music videos in every episode.
Yeah. Mark Maron is excellent in it.
Wow, right?
Yeah, he's gotten a lot more... I think he's gotten a lot more character depth this season.
Yeah.
He's still grouchy old Mark Maron, but they give him some other stuff to do. And he does it very well.
Yep.
Good job, Mark.
So, GLOW, good fun, spirit-raising pose?
I'm not sure.
I mean, there are certainly... joyous moments in Pose.
Oh, yeah.
It ends on a huge high note.
It always opens on a high note at one of the balls, which are great.
Yeah. The opening credits, not really credits, but the title sequence
right.
of Pray Tell, played by Billy Porter, just saying the category is live.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, although I have watched every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I've gone to drag shows, I don't really understand the categories of the ball culture.
The categories are, from what I understand from watching Paris is Burning.
Right.
That's what you're competing in. If the category is business...
I understand the concept of a category.
Okay.
But when they say, the category is X, I usually do not understand what I'm going to see until I see people walking that category and I go, okay, that's what X means.
Okay.
My favorite category was the one that none of our named characters were in. It was in one of the...
It was the science fiction outer space one?
Yeah, the bizarre...
Oh, that was amazing.
I like to picture that in
bizarre alien.
I like to picture that in the world of the show, the people that were in that category were constantly pitching it. Like, every week they're going, when are you going to let us do the alien category? And everyone else is like... we don't like the alien category. We want to do military
do
man
military,
category.
And they're all like...
Or like executive realness.
They're like, but Klaus Nomi is just working the bar 2 doors down. Come on, let us have an alien night. And they're like, no.
That is my favorite thing about when that... So Pose is set in 1987. And there was so much crazy stuff going on in 1987 in New York.
Yeah, there is.
They're a few years past when the Get Down was set.
Right.
But those kids that were in
the Get Down are adults now.
Like, they're wandering around that New
they're
York.
They're going to those clubs because now they're old enough.
Yeah.
Probably not the gay clubs.
One of them was gay.
And he went to a club.
Yeah.
Could be one of those clubs.
I hear in the second season of Pose, they're going to do some of that. Go to the uptown artsy clubs.
Ooh, exciting. I want to see those.
Yeah. That's the thing. Towards the end of the season, I started to wonder, should we be seeing famous people cameos? Like,
Should Madonna show up in the background because she's not famous yet and she's at a...
87, she is famous, but...
You're right.
She's 3 years out from a song called Vogue. Mm. So you know she is in these clubs going, that's a pretty good dance. I mean, I could make a music video out of that.
Could be. Could be.
For that matter, I mean, it ended in 88 because we went through Christmas. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon RuPaul is running around New York.
Yeah, are we going to see Ru? I don't know. It could be a maybe it's a fictional universe where they're, I don't know.
Or just going the other way and bringing it back to the alleged topic of our show, which is reality shows. Can we get some of the people from Pose to be on RuPaul's Drag Race?
I don't know, but I know that there's some people from Drag Race that are on Pose.
That's true,
Jiggly Caliente's on there.
I don't know if Billy Porter has already been a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, but why wouldn't you have Billy Porter as a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race?
True, he starred in Kinky Boots.
Yes, he did.
As a very gay character.
Yep.
A drag queen, in fact.
And he's great.
The thing I really like Pose because there's a lot of happiness in the show, but it is also set against the backdrop of the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
So people are dropping like flies.
In Glow, they did actually have an AIDS thing happen, which I did not think they were going to, even though there was a flyer in the hospital saying to get tested. Do you remember Bash's butler?
Oh, yeah. Bash's butler died. That's a spoiler. I was trying not to spoil it.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay,
I'm not that sorry. Bash does not deal with it well.
No.
And I thought that was interesting, because people on Pose being more fully realized characters have deeper and more interesting reactions to AIDS than they do on Glow.
Yeah.
Like, Glow is fun, but people don't have that many emotions on it.
Right, well, I feel like one of the reasons I like Pose was something I read by the creator, who, isn't he that American Horror Story guy,
Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy.
Nip/Tuck, shows... Glee, American Horror Story, American Crime Story. He's a
Ryan
mogul.
Ryan Murphy's shows are hit or miss with me. American Horror Story, I tried to like it, I could not. I tried to like another season, I could not. I just
repeat
can't like
them. Every season. Like, between seasons, we're like, I don't care. And then they'll do the commercials, and it'll be American Horror Story, Hotel. It's crazy, look at all the sets. Here's Lady Gaga, and you go, well, I do like those sets. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, and then the ghost of Rudolph Valentino comes out of the wall for, like, the 17th time, and you're like, I've just had it. You've got too much going on. Choose a couple monsters and stick with them.
I swear to God, in the first season, everyone was a ghost by the end. They were just haunting each other, like, in a
circle. Pretty much, yeah. I'm sure that's what was happening.
But, you know, in the next season...
They go back to that house, and they're all ghosts together, and they have a ghost party, and there are piñatas, and they're filled with ectoplasm.
They're crossing over two seasons. I think it's like... Ghost House and Coven, or Ghost House and Asylum, something
like
that.
It is Ghost House and Coven.
That's a good concept. He's trying to trick me. Anyway, Ryan Murphy.
So, hit or miss, I really loved the feud, the Bette Davis one. That was great. It was really good, and it was much kinder to both of the characters than it needed to be. I was expecting it to be a lot bitchier, but it was actually pretty good, and I really liked it. So... Thumbs down American Horror Story, thumbs up Feud.
Thumbs way up Pose.
But Pose I really like. I like because it's telling stories about people who are being kind to each other.
Yes.
Even people who are jackasses are being are receiving kindness and love despite themselves. Especially toward the end of the series.
That's the big glory moment, right? Like, there's no question about who's going to get the big award, but the award is for... being a mother.
Yeah, it's
being
for
being nurturing.
It's for taking care of people. And I really like that. And one of the things that Ryan Murphy said was that he wanted to create a show so that gay, lesbian, trans kids would have something they could see that would let them know if they were in a bad situation that there was life and happiness possible, but they might have to make their own family. And I love that so much. I thought that was a great message, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
Also, so much costumes.
I gotta say, and this is gonna sound a little judgy, and I apologize for that. If you are genuinely starving and genuinely don't know where you're going to sleep, ball culture seems like a real expensive hobby.
Doesn't it? I know, they keep going on. Yeah.
You can't steal from a museum every single week.
No, the museums will start watching for you.
Also, I really want to see... I assume that what we're seeing is the top-of-the-line ball.
Oh, you think there's, like, some crappy balls down the road that are just terrible?
Yeah. There's a minor league ball on Tuesday nights that you go to that the scrubs go... Like, this is a fun thing to do, and it obviously sells a bunch of tickets or whatever. Like,
right,
at least a bunch of drinks.
Not everyone in it is going to be great.
Right. So, this is the aspirational level of balls.
Right.
But there are certainly other places that don't have a million 8-foot-high trophies every week, and I want to know who's paying for those, by the way.
Those trophies are pretty cheap.
But they've got so many of them.
Yeah, but
they're giving away wheelbarrows full every week.
They are giving away a lot of trophies. It is a trophy-heavy situation.
By the way, I hear that a bunch of the people who played judges were people who were at balls back in the 80s.
Oh, that's awesome. I know that I was read that there are like 300 LGBT and trans people employed on that show.
That's amazing.
Yeah, which is awesome. Not just in the cast, but, you know, as writers, electricians. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Writers and electricians, and that's it.
I'm sure that there are many positions filled. Oh, that wasn't. I don't want to go that way. Never mind. There's a lot of people on it who are LGBTQ. Yay for them, is what I meant to say.
Are you watching anything else? You want to talk about Dietland?
You know what I just watched?
What's that?
I watched a perfectly intelligent dog take an entire ice cube and hide it under a pillow for later.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
She's going to be so sad.
And it suggests that we might be just about out of time for this episode.
No, what else? What were you asking me about before?
I asked you about Dietland, and you swerved.
Oh my god, I love Dietland.
Well, what's so great about Dietland?
Okay, when I first saw the advertisements for Dietland, I thought it was going to be your generic show with a fat protagonist.
Right.
In which case, she's going to be bubbly.
You think it's going to be a TV version of the commercials for an Amy Schumer movie?
No, I think it's going to be like Mary Tyler Moore or That Girl. One of those about a breezy young woman at work in the world.
It looked a lot like, because the commercials just showed her working at a magazine, or at least that's all I noticed, it looked a lot like Ugly Betty, but she's white and fat, instead of slightly weird looking and Mexican. Which, by the way, America Ferrera is not ugly. That show made less and less sense as it went on.
Yeah, it's true. But actually, it's about this woman who writes for a teen magazine. She answers letters to the editor, even though she's not the editor. And she, every month, gets these letters from these girls. And they're talking about things that... What are the issues the girls are dealing with? And so the editor's constantly saying, well, what are my girls into this week? And the girls are like... how do I deal with the fact that I'm being molested? How do I keep cutting myself. Can you make me stop? Stuff like that. Like, really heavy stuff.
Yeah.
But because it's a fashion magazine, the editor's kind of like, oh, well, we'll just give them some eyeliner options. But it turns out...
Here's some concealer for those cutting marks.
Right. And the main character, Plum, who is like... I think she's like 300 pounds in the book. She's not nearly that big in the TV show. But she gets drawn into this underground group of women. She has been hating herself her entire life. Like, there's a scene that just broke my heart where she's baking a cake because she works at a bakery. And she accidentally gets a piece of frosting on her finger and licks it off and goes to throw up because she can't have the calories. So it's like that, and then she starts to, as she joins this weird revolutionary group of women, she becomes more and more herself. And that kind of leads her astray, and some things happen to her that aren't great.
It turns out that herself is kind of prone to hallucinations and wild overreactions to some things, I feel like.
Maybe. It could be. But it's very much about a woman finding her voice in the world, and I really like it, and I was so happy that it wasn't just a show about a bubbly fat secretary.
Yeah, it's a lot weirder than I thought.
Oh yeah,
it was
there's
be.
Like it is so weird and it's really subversive. It's
I don't watch it all the time, but I am sometimes in the room while it's on, and I apologize for that because sometimes I say things during it and you glare at me.
That's okay, honey.
I feel like there's so much going on in the show aside from what the show is about. Like, it's clearly about Plum and how Plum views the world and how the world reacts to Plum. But also, there's a full-on serial-killing radical feminist group.
Yeah.
That, in a lot of shows, would be the focus of what's going
on.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like it's becoming the focus. She...
Well,
eventually meets some of them.
Right. It becomes a focus once Plum interacts with them. But for a while, it's like just background talk.
Yeah, just news stories you hear in the background. So I really love that show. I like it a lot. I think there's only two or three more episodes left. I don't think it's something that can be renewed for another series. I think it's like The Terror, where it's just an adaptation of a book that they do for a while. On FX, and then they go to something else.
I hope you're right. Like,
no, I'm pretty sure that's it. That's what I've read.
Because, like, it seems like a very good show, and I'm glad people like it, but one of my big things on serialized television is that I think stories are a lot better when they have endings.
I agree.
And especially something like this, the further adventures of Plum just seems like it would cheapen everything.
It would.
Even... Like, I don't know how it's going to end. I'm kind of picturing, like, at the end of Heathers, a building on fire and Plum walking away smirking.
I hope so. I hope that's what happens.
That's a good way to end almost anything.
You can end anything that way, pretty much.
Either end with the main character getting a trophy or walking away from an exploding building.
Absolutely.
Both Pose and Glow ended with the main character getting a trophy, by the way.
Oh, you're right. So maybe Plum will get a trophy at the end of the show.
I hope so. She's had a hard time. Why shouldn't she get a trophy? I think we're out. Are we out?
I think we're out.
We're out. Thanks for listening. Totes us
likes. Totes us likes.
We're going to be back real soon because I cannot wait to talk about the Great Food Truck Race.
Oh my God, I'm sorry I told you about that.
Totes us likes still.